Hello and welcome to Hockey Development Talk. Today, slightly different podcast. Hopefully everyone's going to love it. I have Fiona Campbell with me. Morning, Fiona.
Morning, Gary.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. It's a lovely sunny morning.
It is, isn't it? Yeah, it is lovely. It is lovely this morning, which is a rarity in these current climate. So Fiona, you're involved in hockey, but you're also an author, and we're going to have a little chat today about your hockey background and also your books that you've written.
Great, looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too. So firstly, hockey yourself, do you want to give us a little bit of background around some of your journey within the hockey world?
Yeah, sure. So unlike most of the people that you talk to on your podcast, I'm a very social hockey player. And I've played in a lot of places, but only sort of, you know, maximum third team type stuff. I'll go backwards. I live in St Albans now, so I'm playing for St Albans Hockey Club. And then before that, I was at Grasshoppers in Zurich, where we used to live. Before that, I played at Rot-Weiss in Munich, which is a really nice big club in Munich. And then we're going back in time now, played at Richmond for a couple of years, Battersea Wanderers, Wimbledon, and now we're back at university. I was at Manchester University. I did a few months at Canterbury, and then that's school and under 16 county Wiltshire stuff. So I've taken you right back to when I was a young girl.
Wow.
Lots of clubs, lots of experience, but like I said, never actually played very well.
Oh, I'm sure you have. Don't do yourself a disservice. Most people I talk to on here love a social hockey experience as well, so don't do yourself any disservice there. I think some of the people I do talk to come across maybe a bit elitist, but actually they still love the social side of the game, and that's why we've been involved in it for so long. So just talk me through some of that journey. How did you get started? How did you get into hockey? School?
Yeah, school. I've got a couple of sisters who play hockey, and my mum was a player as well. And that sounds terrible, doesn't it? My mum was a player.
Yeah.
My mum was a hockey player. I just kind of always loved it. But I think that if it had been a really elitist sport, I probably would have dropped out at some stage. And having done it when I was younger for the sport, I think that when I got to a certain age, I was definitely doing it for the friendships and the team stuff and the social stuff. So, yeah.
Which is what we need. Absolutely what we need. And I think that's why I like to understand the journey a little bit. So, your first club, what did you say your first club was?
I guess my first real club was Canterbury, where I went in my gap year I was earning a bit of money and playing there. So that was having done school and county stuff, that was the first experience I had of a really great social fun club. And I think I played in the thirds there or something, so not too bad. I was in an under 21 development squad as well, with some amazing players. That's probably the best hockey I've ever played.
Okay.
Was in that under 21 squad. So
anybody that you want to name check within that? Anybody?
No, I mean, you know, I'm 46 now, so we're talking about 25 years ago.
So it's not that long ago. Don't worry.
Around in Canterbury then were people like, I don't know if you know Nikki Triggs and people like that, and they're exactly my age, and they were, yeah. I mean, she's still playing National League, possibly still, but yeah, I had lots of friendships there and lots of amazing players coming through, so that's good.
And I think for us as a sport, that's a really positive place to be, is the fact of that's a good, really good memory for you, but not only from just the hockey side, but you know, the first thing you really mentioned there was about how sociable it was, how welcoming in some respects. So that's a really positive thing. We need to see that in our sport definitely a lot more. Where you obviously went abroad, so where, when you were abroad, where, what stands out the most, I suppose, not where, what stands out the most about you sort of playing abroad that's different to over here? Anything that sort of stands out? You mentioned two, Germany and Sweden, didn't you? So
Switzerland is obviously a bit, it's a bit ice hockey mad. So whenever you say you play hockey there, they always say, oh, ice hockey. And then you have to explain that there's this other thing. They actually call it land hockey there.
Oh, land.
And you have to explain that there's this other thing called land hockey, and they play it on a, like an artificial. And it's just, I mean, it's, it takes a while to sort of get through to people that it's not ice hockey. The Grasshoppers Club is a really lovely little club, and it's just a really family friendly, you know, club with not amazing facilities, but everybody just gets on with it. And the amazing thing about Switzerland and Germany was that you can just walk into a club there and you just say, you know, I'm a hockey player, and they just, you just got instant friendships, and instantly people are wanting to get to know you, find out who you are. And that doesn't change. That's the same in every single club that I've played in. You're just accepted and welcomed, which is a really nice feeling. So
brilliant. Yeah. No, it's really good. Really, 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 really good. And then now, St Albans.
St Albans, yeah. I'm playing, hopefully playing over 45s next season. I'm in the Lady Sevens at St Albans, which is a fun development team with lots of youngsters in it. So that's a weird thing. I'm playing with some oldies like me and some 13-year-olds. So that's great.
They can do all your running.
They do my running, and I just hit the ball as hard as I can, and they sort of scamper after it. So it's good fun.
Sounds great. It sounds great. Yeah. And look, you know, for you to have this as a memory, and then you've started to sort of go into writing books and stuff, which we'll come on to in a moment, and then obviously writing a book that's specific to hockey as well, just shows what impact the sport has had. And that, I think that's an amazing thing. So when we first chatted over social media, I thought, oh, I'll have a look at what this book is. And I think that's a really good, really good sign for our sport, is that somebody like yourself started social hockey, as you've mentioned, and then gradually all this experience, you've then gone and written a book about it, which I think is great. So just a little bit more background. When you went abroad, was that through work?
That was through work. And then my husband and I decided to come back to England, just because, so our kids are now sort of coming into their teenage years. So we decided to bring them back to this lovely country that they have never lived in.
Right.
It's a bit of a mess at the moment, but we don't need to get into that.
No.
But this is where we come from, and this is where we love. And they've just accepted that amazingly. They obviously speak German and English, and they're just slotted back in. And again, same theme. Go to St Albans Hockey Club. One of them plays under 14s. The other one plays under 10s. Mm-hmm. They're just loving it. They're just, you know, accepted and happy. They've got friendships already. The standard is great. They're being really being pushed and trained really well. So that's an amazing thing to give them as well.
No, I agree. And it's great that your children are enjoying the sport as well. Did your husband play, or do we need to convince him yet?
Yeah, no, he's a much better player than I am. He's played to quite a high level. So he's currently men's threes at the moment. So.
Oh, okay. Wow, that is a hockey family, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's great. Yeah, my two have just started. Well, my eldest is 7. He's been playing for a little while, but my daughter started. They both played in an under 8s festival yesterday, so they're 7 and 4, actually, not 5. Wow. 7 and 4. Both played an under 8s festival yesterday, which was amazing to see. You know, some games were 3-a-side, some were 4-a-side. Nobody was stood waiting. Every team was playing little pitches, 8 pitches available. My daughter, it wasn't going to play, but then one team said, oh, do you want to join in? So then she went in. Never seen so much smiles when they played against each other. I had a little moment, I must admit. I had a little moment. And my parents actually were over, so they've actually visited this weekend, and they were watching. So there was grandparents. I'm stood with my dad. I remember this experience with my dad, who was a hockey player years ago. I'm going to be 40 soon, so it was a long time ago when I was playing on grass with my dad. And I just looked at him and said, "This is what I remember." It was amazing to be able to stand there with my dad watching my two children play hockey, and it was a weird moment, but
it's a great feeling.
Yeah, and that's just how powerful this sport really is. So great, isn't it? It's great. Yeah. And I'm sure you've had that, you know, with your husband as well. Have all four of you played in a little game together yet? Have you had that?
Well, we did do for my son's 9th birthday last year. We got all the cousins and uncles and aunts and everything together. So there were 22 of us. The youngest one was, I think he's 7 or 8. Wow. And then the oldest one was the granddad of pushing 80. And we got a really great family photo of that, of us all playing on the pitch at St Albans. And I just, that's the same feeling that you just described. Yeah. It's really, really nice. And some people were incredibly good and some people were incredibly violent. But we all got through it unscathed. Almost unscathed. It was good. It was a fun day.
That for me is, the sport just provides that, and I think it's amazing. It's amazing. Moving on. Author, when did you start getting into books? When did all this sort of happen?
How long ago is it now? I think it's about 5 years ago when I first started writing, and I wrote a few different books that I then sort of put aside. And in 2016 I started writing No Number 9. So that's been 2 years writing and drafting and editing and perfecting, and then it came out last March. So really I've been writing for 5 years.
Okay.
But I switched around the order in which I published the books, and No Number 9 was the first one that I published.
Right. Oh, I didn't realise that, because when it says obviously you need a book about your other books, I thought that they were already published. Are they out now?
Got one other one out called The Islanders. That was out in January. And then there are a couple more that I've got hopefully coming out this year. So I've got lots of books that will be out soon. But at the moment, there's just two published.
Okay, so before you as an author, do you mind me asking what did you do?
I've done lots of things. I was an accountant for a while. I worked in marketing, PR. I did a bit of English teaching when I was abroad. Just a little bit of everything. But this has taken over now, and I'm just concentrating on this for the moment.
I can understand why you may have done some English teaching in your book as well. So that's good. That is good. Okay, so No Number 9. Let's get into it. So No Number 9 is your first book that you've mentioned there, based around hockey. Do you want to give us a little bit of info into this?
Yeah, sure. So the main character in it is, she's called Pip, and she's 18 years old. And she has just had a pretty terrible time over the last couple of years. She's actually lost her sister and has been through a lot of grief, and is basically just coming out of that. She's trying to rebuild her life again, and she takes a job in Munich as an au pair, looking after a couple of small children. And can't give any spoilers, but there are a few surprises when she gets to the new job that are not entirely pleasant for her. So she's kind of got a bit of an adventure and a challenge on her hands. She comes from a hockey background. There's a whole lot of German hockey and Australian hockey players and British hockey players in it. So it's kind of an international hockey story.
Yes, which leads into the Sydney Olympic Games. So if you don't mind, we're going to read what the bit is on the back of the book, because this is a bit that literally, I think my wife is more into reading books than I am, and she's away loads further into this book than me. But this definitely, when I showed her it when it arrived, she read the back of the book. She said, pass it over here. it actually says, what do you do when your amazing beloved sister dies? And then underneath it goes, hide in your room for 2 years, sleep with a very, very wrong man, leave home, start a new life, lie to everyone you meet, including your kind employer, your curious friends, and the man you love. And then the person's name, so Pip Mitchell's an expert at making seriously bad decisions, but when her past, present, and future collide at the Sydney Olympic Games, she's going to have to decide whose side she's on, or she'll lose everything she loves. I think I've only read, as I mentioned to you earlier, and I apologise about this, I haven't read as many pages as I possibly could have.
Okay, you're a busy man.
But that there definitely enticed my wife into reading the book. So it's based around the Sydney Olympics. I'm happy for you to talk a little bit more around that. Do you want to just explain why did you choose Sydney Olympics? Obviously, you mentioned that you wrote this, started to write this, 2016, 2017, etc. So why did you choose the Sydney Olympics? What's the background behind that?
Well, it was an easy choice for me. I'm as well as being a social hockey player, I also really love watching international hockey. Yeah. And I've been to three Olympics, Barcelona, Atlanta and Sydney.
Yeah.
How old was I in Sydney? I was coming up to 30, I think, in Sydney. And I just had a really, really amazing time there. I spent about a month altogether in Australia.
Yeah.
Saw lots of friends. And it was, for me, it was just a really, really amazing Olympics. And I knew the city a little bit and I knew where things were. So I had a sort of map of it in my head. And I also needed somewhere to... I don't know if you remember this feeling when you were younger, but Australia was to us, it was like going to the moon. It was so far away.
Yeah.
And I needed things to be sort of scary and unfamiliar for Pip. And just, you know, this was a once in a lifetime opportunity for her to go there. Mm. And it had to be somewhere very far away. So I couldn't do it in Athens. It's too close.
Yep.
I didn't go to Beijing, and that's a totally unfamiliar one. And it definitely couldn't have been London 2012. It had to be abroad. It had to be a long, long way away. And Sydney was just perfect for that. And I just ran it by a few Australian friends and just made sure I had all the details right. And some people that I was there with at the time, other friends. And I am I'm by marriage related to Helen Richardson Walsh.
Oh, wow.
And that was her first. There's actually no blood relation. So, you know, don't get excited about that. That was her first Olympics. She was 18 years old there. Yeah. And I gave her like the notes on the book and some of the details and just said, look, is this all okay? Is this all sort of realistic? And is this how you remember it? And she was sort of ticking off things with me. And we had a good conversation about various things. So that was really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I mean, I didn't actually, because I was living abroad, I didn't actually go to London 2012.
Okay.
So I can't, you know, let's take that one out of the picture. But I think that the Sydney Olympics was the most amazing Olympics ever. It was just brilliant.
Yeah. I mean, it was simply unreal. I can remember watching it. Kathy Freeman was obviously the pinup for the Olympic Games there. Obviously different background within that. She eventually won, the place went mad, and I remember the commentators going huge on it. Granted it was a different sport, but that for me was a standout of the Sydney Olympics, of her actually finally getting across that line and winning, because I think the pressure for her was unreal. Obviously, within the hockey side of things then, when we talk about it here, you've not kept to the results either, have you? You've actually tweaked some of the results within it, which you do apologize for later on in your book and your author's notes.
I do.
Which did tickle me when I read. So again, it's not talking about facts. Actually, you are actually twisting and changing things as you go along, which
this is fiction. It's based on hockey, and there were matches and things took place, but I ran this by a few people and not a single person said to me, no, you can't do that. You can't change that. One person said, if it had been like a really historic moment, like if you'd made Kathy Freeman not win her race, for example, that would have been quite upsetting to a lot of people.
Okay.
But what I did was I just changed the results of the hockey, of the men's hockey. And I don't want to tell you who wins and who loses, but there is one country that could be a little bit upset by their placement, but it's fiction, so basically I'm in charge and I get to write whatever I want, and that's the beauty of being a writer. You can just make it all up.
You can indeed. So with regards to the story, starts in September 99, finishes October 2000, both Munich, so starts in Munich 1999, finishes October 2000 Munich, I believe. I haven't got that far yet, but that's where I believe that we finish. It's about 380 pages, something like that, which is a tracking read. So Pip herself, how was she evolved? How did she sort of come? How did you come up with that person there? Was there something that stuck out? I'm always intrigued of how people's characters sort of start within books and TV shows and something like that. So is this, I'm not definitely asking you, is this based on someone you know? Because obviously it's not all of that, but how did you come up with a Pip and then her sort of storyline? How did you sort of get around that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really know how. I think she just evolved in my head as the story evolved. She's definitely not autobiographical. I know you want to ask that. Everyone always wants to ask that. She's definitely not me. But the one thing that I did definitely want to write about was that feeling when you're 18 years old, or when you're 20, or whenever it is that you leave home. And the world is a very exciting place, but it's also terrifying. And I think unless you're a super confident person, which I'm not, you have this feeling that you're just making all these ridiculous mistakes, and you're kind of pretending to be an adult, but you're not really. And it is just, it's just like, you know, you can't even get the confidence up to talk to people properly. And I just really wanted to get this in Pip's character. She's a really brave girl, but she is totally naive, and she makes all these really, really silly mistakes. And she's excited to sort of be out in the world again, but she is also terrified. And I think that's the main thing for me about Pip, is that she is quite vulnerable in lots of ways, but she's also quite a strong character. And I really, really loved writing her and just sort of making up little stories about all the stupid things that she does. And she's got a whole really great cast of characters around her who, she's got an amazing best friend. She's got these new friends that she makes in Munich, and they all just laugh at her or tell her off or try and protect her in all of their different ways. And I loved writing them as well. So it was an amazing, fun experience for me to write it and just make it all up and get really into these characters. And I've had a couple of bits of feedback about the book. One review that was written was just like, I didn't want to say goodbye to the characters at the end of the book. And that is exactly how I felt when I finished it. I was just gutted. I just didn't want to stop writing. These people sounds a bit mad, but they were a bit like my friends, imaginary friends. I just really didn't want to stop being with them every day and talking to them and conversing with them and deciding what they would do in the certain situations. And I was a bit bereft at the end of it to say goodbye to them. But
I could imagine, because it must take, well, obviously it took you over a year to write the book, but it must take so much energy as well to be able to come up with the story, the twists, the turns as you're going along, growing it, getting the detail in, so with regards to Munich, did you spend a lot of time in Munich yourself when you were over in Germany?
We were based in Munich. So I lived there for almost 11 years.
Oh, okay.
And I did. There's a hockey club in Munich, which is in the book, but it's not based on a hockey club where I was. I just made it up. It was kind of a fantastic hockey club with all the facilities that you could ever dream of. That was all made up. And I really like doing that in all my books. I'll base it in a real city or a real place, but then I'll just sort of make up everything within that, because I just think it gives me a bit more freedom to sort of to decide how the story goes and everything. So there's no kind of actual hockey club in Munich that is sort of in my mind when I'm writing it.
Yeah, and they may want to get hold of you as well. Get that amazing facility in, but that would be great. Okay, just talk about your other books. You've got The Islanders that you mentioned there. What's that? What's that around?
Yeah, so that's a slightly different story. It's more of a kind of what's called a young adult book. So it's more for sort of 16-year-old kind of teenagers. And it's based in a boarding school. There is one hockey scene in it. I had to put one hockey scene in, obviously, but apart from that, it's got nothing to do with hockey. It's about a group of friends who have various sort of challenges and fun things happening to them. So it's if you enjoyed one, you might enjoy the other. I know lots of people who've enjoyed No Number Nine, and then they've bought The Islanders for maybe their sort of 15, 16-year-old child. So you could definitely dip into both of them.
Brilliant. And then you've got other books which you're hoping to release over the coming months, years, whenever that might be.
Yeah, I've got a couple more in the pipeline, so I need to get on and write those instead of chatting to people on podcasts. But that's all part of the job.
Agreed. Okay, so the future, what does the future look like for yourself? Kind of continue playing hockey, I assume?
I'll play for as long as I possibly can. I really love it in St Albans. I'm making friends and having fun time. So, and then I've got my boys to watch, and I think I sort of live vicariously through them sometimes. Watching them on the pitch, I think, I'm getting a lot of joy out of watching them when my old legs don't work anymore. Then I'll have their. Watching their matches, so that'll be brilliant. And then I'm just going to get on with writing some more books. I'm possibly talking to someone at the moment about getting No Number Nine translated into German, because I can speak German, but my German's not quite good enough to translate it myself, that might be something that we're doing either in a sort of traditional way, or we might get a bit of a crowdfunding going for that. So that would be a big project to do. You never really know with a book. So at the moment I'm selling sort of a few hundred copies here and there. It may take off, and then you never know. My absolute dream would be if someone would knock on the door and say, would you like to make a film out of this? And I'd be like, how cool would that be?
That's
a big dream.
Yeah. That would be something. If one of my listeners has got a film company that wants to make No Number Nine into a film, they need to get hold of you very quickly through social media and any other way we can. That seriously would be a good film for definite. So how can we buy this book? Do you want to tell me how can we buy this book?
Yeah, well, so first stop is probably just to go to my website, which is fjcampbell.net, and all the details of where to buy it are on there. But it should be everywhere online. So whatever your favourite way is of buying a book, you should be able to buy it or order it online. It is in a few bookshops. It's in the local bookshops here in St Albans. Mm-hmm. But best thing is to do either a sort of click and collect thing or whatever. But check the website for all the details of that.
Okay. And if people want to engage with you on social media, you are on Twitter. Do you know your Twitter name?
I'm at FJ_Campbell. I'm on Instagram as well, FJ Campbell Author. You should be able to find me all over the place.
Brilliant.
And it's been I just wanted to say, actually, it's been really fun engaging with the hockey family on Twitter and social media, and it's been it's exactly what you'd expect. Every time I ask somebody, you know, do you want to read this, do you want to tweet about it, do you want to support me in any way, I've had almost 100% people saying yeah let's do something. And I just find it really fun and really just, that is the hockey family, isn't it? They just get behind you and support you, and once they hear that it's a hockey book, then off they go and read it and everything. And it is, and lots of people who don't play hockey have read it and loved it, but I've been mostly concentrating the marketing and social media on the hockey family, just because I know it and I know how it works, and it's been really, really brilliant so far.
That's great. Absolutely great. And you know, thank you for chatting to me and let me know, because I wasn't aware of this hockey book. So then when you did let me know, I purchased it, had it here, just would like to spend, I'm hoping through the Easter break to be able to have a little bit of time so I can hopefully finish it. But my wife will definitely have this finished before I have. There's no doubt about that. But it looks really, really useful. I wish you all the best with selling the book. I'll do what I can to help promote it. I'll tweet around it, and I'll let a few people know. Hopefully they can tweet around it and send some messages out. I think it's great that we've now got a novel around the fantastic sport that we have. I'm looking forward to getting to know about Pip's journey. I'm only slightly starting that, so I'm really keen to find out about what goes on. But look, thank you for your time, and hopefully we can make this sell a few for you, but also let's try and make this into a movie. I'd love to see a movie around Pip's journey. I think that's really exciting to see what we can do. A hockey movie would be amazing. So thanks again for your time.
No, thank you, Gary.